Strangers. I'm Sharon, and I am lucky enough to have with me the wonderful Kirsty, who is going to talk to us today about... Kirsty, what are we talking about?
We're talking about non-binary representation in games.
Awesome source. Just to start us off, if it's okay, because it's your first time on the podcast, can you just tell us a little bit about you, if that's okay? And, well, kind of whatever you want us to know, really.
Yeah, so I'm Kirsty. I'm a sort of a concept art lecturer at Staffordshire University. I'm a queer bisexual person, but to sort of talk about this subject, I am also non-binary, so I'm a they/them type of person. I think I have a lot of knowledge regarding the subject area.
And I don't, so I've already said this to Kirsty. If I make a mistake, it's a nice mistake, and correct me, because if I use the wrong terminology or anything like that, because yeah, nothing is ever meant from a nasty place, it's just I'll use a word and it's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes refer to myself wrong, I say things wrong. It just, I think you as a human, like as you grow up, you hear the same phrases and things so often, and terminology is changing all the time, that you're bound to slip up. Like, no one can be on it all the time.
But we try, and that's the important. That's the core. Is we try. So, like, this was your suggestion. So I'm actually really excited because I love representation. I love the idea of, it's something I've talked about quite a lot, and it's part of the kind of the women in game ethos as well, of kind of visibility, being seen, being represented, having a voice. All of these like super important things, being part of a conversation. All of these things. So, start me off. You said because we were chitty chatting before, because I always start recording. you said that essentially this is quite a new thing, because I was saying it's not something that I've really encountered in game, this idea of kind of non-binary bisexuality, like this idea of kind of a character type that isn't seen so much, and it's not something I've kind of explored or encountered. And you went, it's quite new, really.
It is.
So how new is it? How new? What are we talking about?
Well, it's both very new as a concept of being non-binary, but if we look at it, it's actually not all too new. So one of the first examples I can find of genderless characters is Birdo from the old Mario games, in the sense that some people thought Birdo was a male character, and then Birdo was pink and then had a bow, but everyone called Birdo he, and then Birdo was suddenly Yoshi's girlfriend, and people were a little confused about what was happening there.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is probably that it was some sort of direction or art direction gone wrong, and then it was being a Japanese game in the sort of 80s, and there was sort of bringing that over to the West probably conflicted it a little.
Yeah.
And it was just a sort of error and miscommunication. But if we look at it now, and we acknowledge the miscommunication as a sort of canon thing.
Yeah.
We have this character who was perceived as male and female at the same time.
Yeah.
And everybody was just okay with it.
Yeah.
Which was interesting for the 80s and then the 90s. So that's probably one of the earliest views in games that I can find, or that I've seen. There may be even more. There might be someone listening now going, well, actually...
I mean, usually there's someone who... know something else, but that's a really interesting one. So sort of like an accidental, in inverted commas, representation, which is super interesting.
I do feel like a lot of the early sort of non-binary representation was not intentional. And even some of the later stuff has been open to speculation. And I think one of the reasons that that's great is it shows that the community and the people behind it are looking for representation within characters, even if it is accidental.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit of a shame that in early times it's like grasping at straws, like, no, Birdo is trans or non-binary,
yes,
and they've got that. Whereas now, in just the past 5 years, we've suddenly got characters where they tell you themselves with the words, I am non-binary, this is my identity. So that's a huge leap to have. It's also very, very recent, and I can't even think off the top of my head of one where we have characters who are considered non-binary or genderless who are human. So
So we're not just putting it as it's an alien, therefore we're saying these are human or humanoid characters, and we can say that they are genderless.
Yeah, it's very new that it's been people. So a big example that I love to talk about is Liara Tassoni from Mass Effect. So she uses she, her pronouns, and the whole race of Asari, the alien race that she is, which is basically they've got fully humanoid female bodies, female faces. They are just blue and have some tentacles on their head.
Okay.
But otherwise, like tentacles instead of hair.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Otherwise, they are completely just what you would expect beautiful women to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sort of beauty standard at the time.
Yeah.
But painted blue.
Okay.
And within their society, within the free Mass Effect games, and then again Andromeda, the mm-hmm. fourth one, we get this insight into their culture, and they go by certain titles. So they go through phases of life. They go through maidenhood, then they go through matronhood, mm-hmm. and then they get matriarch.
Okay.
So it's all very feminine, womanly terms.
Yes, yeah.
And then on top of that, they can mate with any gender. So any species, any race, any gender, human, alien, anything. Because their form of reproduction is through mind melding, okay. like very Star Trek. Sort
yeah,
of like,
oh, I love Star Trek. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you just need to touch and sort of look into each other's minds, and then suddenly one of you is pregnant.
Whoa.
That type of thing.
Okay.
Which makes sense for aliens.
Oh, yeah, but...
Could you imagine
no.
one handshake and then
oh my
pregnant?
God. Oh.
So to me, they're a really interesting form of looking at a genderless race or sort of society. Because I, no one can see me, but I present quite feminine. And I was born female before identifying as non-binary. So I have all the experiences a woman would have growing up before realising who I am. And it's nice to see a game where there's a society of very feminized but genderless people. And what's, I think, the most interesting thing about them is that they actively say a few times, even though they go by terms like she, her,
yeah.
and they sort of identify and look quite feminine, they'll say, well, actually, our race is genderless. Or they call themselves monogendered.
Mm.
And I don't think they use the exact term non-binary, but they do say that they don't fall within a binary or a human binary, which is a really nice sort of representation. And it's extra sort of interesting if you play as a lesbian or bisexual or queer woman character in the games, because Liara is considered the bisexual option. So
okay.
she will date male or female character. And she's the only character in the first game that will do that.
Mm.
And if you date her, you are perceived as being gay or a woman who loves women. Like
yeah.
you're expected to be not straight. But in writing, she's not a woman.
Mm.
So you could be, in theory, straight and still date Liara.
Yeah.
I guess at the time it wasn't as thought out. Like, it feels like there was perhaps a bit of sort of breadth that should have been expanded on. And we lose a few things to that. Part of it is BioWare's development. We don't know how much of it was intentionally sort of inclusive and how much was cut out.
Yeah.
Because they did mention that they planned initially to have male Asari.
Oh, then... okay. So that cutout actually does change things quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. But then it's, why did you cut it out? Was it budget reasons? Was it because you wanted to explore a gendered race that was all one? So I don't think we'll ever really know what the reason was. But it's interesting that for whatever reason, we somehow got that representation. And because that representation kind of gets forgotten about sometimes in later games, where every Asari we meet uses the pronouns she, her.
Yeah.
When it comes to Mass Effect Andromeda, which is the sort of fourth installment of the series, we have a character that mentions that she is someone's father. So
yeah.
She says that she's a she, but she calls herself father, which is an interesting... like twist that we'd never seen, where like we know that yes, you can be the mother or father as an Asari, but you're calling yourself it, which we'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And you can also overhear a conversation, so dialogue was written into the game, where two Asari talk, an Asari and another alien species talk, and the Asari mentions that whilst they use she/her pronouns, a lot of Asari use different ones.
Okay.
Some will use they/them, and some will use he/him, and it's up to the Asari to decide how they identify, because they don't have a gender, so it's entirely up to them.
Yeah.
And then the other alien says, oh, well, actually, in my race, we have a huge amount of pronouns that mean different things. Do you want me to make you a list? And then the other person says yes, and that's the end of that dialogue.
Yeah.
But it's just like a little sort of glimpse into whether it was intentional or not to begin with. They've wrote it in now.
It's evolved, hasn't it? It's sort of, like you say, it's whatever they were doing to start with and why ever it went the way it went. Then they're kind of writing it into, can I use the word canon? That
yeah.
It's, this is how this species are, and here's their thought process, and here's their optionality, and here's their, you know, all these things. And actually, no, they hadn't come up with another 15 terms to kind of sub-identify, so they're going to take that from another species. It's really interesting. So in terms of, like, visibility and being seen, how much non-binary optionality is there? I mean, again, so I had this conversation with Jamie. You are not the spokesperson for all non-binary people. I know that. But just in like a general way, as someone who perhaps does not seek it out, but will be aware of it, will be looking for it perhaps more than, say, I would be, you know, as someone who does identify as a gender. How sort of well served? We've talked about it being quite a new thing. How well served is that? Can I say market in terms of people who want to be seen in that way?
I think, and again, like, I agree, I'm not the spokesperson.
I try and put that in because I don't want to sound like I think you are the spokesperson for every non-binary person ever who was ever living or...
Yeah. it's kind of an interesting thing where I would say that just being non-binary in itself is definitely not a new thing, but it's more openly accepted now, and so that's why it feels so new, because people are starting to explore and embrace that idea of gender or lack thereof. It's the same with all sort of sexualities and gender identities.
Of course, yeah.
We're getting to be into a place of society where we're letting ourselves explore that, and so that's now reflecting media.
Yeah.
And for me, it probably changed in the last 5 years. So I knew about non-binary back when I was on my Tumblr days a long, long time ago, so maybe 10 to 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd heard the term for the first time, and I recall dismissing it and saying, oh, no one's going to accept a third gender, that's so silly. And then I kind of thought about it more, and I was like, well, realistically, gender is this sort of construct that we've made, and I thought more about who I felt as a person. And the only reason I didn't really embrace it right away was like, well, no one else is going to accept it, so there's no point in me exploring it. And just in those 10 years, I think I started identifying vocally about 7 years ago.
Mm.
Even when I first started identifying, people had no idea what it was. A lot of people I met, sorry. But now I feel like it's a term that I see everywhere. Like, I see it on forms and paperwork. It used to be that I would do titles on like any sort of paperwork, and it would be Miss or Mrs. Mm-hmm. were my only options, or Ms. And now MX, which is a sort of gender neutral mix title, is there.
Oh, okay. So I've not seen that. I've genuinely not seen the MX.
Yeah, so it's what I use, which is Mix.
Yeah.
So whenever I get letters in, it's always Mix Marrow. And it's not always every site that has it.
Yeah.
But more and more, I would say 9 times out of 10, if I go to sign up for something, they'll have Mix as an option, which they never had 7 years ago.
Oh, not even like 5 years ago, yeah. I feel like, you know. So... Can I'll ask the question, right?
Yeah.
because it's something that I know it more from kind of gay queer culture in terms. So this is sort of not wanting to go, everyone who's queer is the same. Everyone's in a box. My favourite thing, in a box. Just out of interest. So we've just talked about the idea of kind of non-binary characters becoming sort of more visible in video game, kind of within that last five years. So stuff existed somewhat accidentally, you know, and this is where this question's coming from, essentially, right? So what I do know about, and again, it's just because of a podcast I listen to, this is not coming from any kind of deep knowledge of gay queer culture, but the idea of sort of, because your community or you as a person, how you see yourself, how you represent, isn't necessarily at the forefront of a media, you sort of look in the liminal spaces for sort of, well, that character could be, yeah, X, Y, or Z. I'm just wondering in a non-binary circumstance, because obviously, just that idea of, have you looked at when you were playing, when you were getting into games, and kind of again thinking about who you were, maybe not verbally identifying, but there's still stuff that you're thinking, well, gosh, there's this, and there's this, and I could be there, and Were you looking for characters that, I'm super interested, because it's just that idea of the guys that present this podcast say, we look for the crumbs. We look for the crumbs of who we are, and oh, there they are in the corner, and we're there, you know, and it's sort of that idea of, were you looking for that? Was it something that's...
Yeah, it's something I still look for, and I find myself being now even a little disappointed if I don't see it.
Yeah.
But I definitely have found myself saying they refer to themselves as they. So they haven't said she or he. And I kind of have... And it goes for all media, but especially games, because it's a lot of what I consume.
Yeah.
I'll say to my partner when we're playing games, I'll be like, that's a non-binary icon. And sometimes it's a dog, because they'll say, aren't they good? And I'll be like, oh, non-binary icon. But, like, usually I used to find it in robots, because it was very common not to give a gender to robots.
Yeah.
They would say, like, oh, there is the robot, or there is, and then it would be, like, XX035.
Yeah.
And that was the name of the robot. And sometimes they kind of refer to themselves as they, or Mass Effect's a good example of using an alien. It's always... aliens or robots. There's a creature in, or a sort of omnipotent creature, that says this one when they refer to themselves. They go, this one thinks, and then they'll start talking. So they would never refer to themselves as she, he, or even I. It's this one. And to me, I'm always like, this one is non-binary. And then there's been times, which is really nice, and it's happened to me once, where I was playing Apex Legends, which is just a hero shooter game. It's very fun. It doesn't have any real narrative, though. It has, like, some comics inside where it tells you a bit more about the hero characters. But other than that, it's jump in, shoot people, last to the end.
Sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's very much like your Fortnite, Overwatch type thing. And there's a character that was debated about whether or not they were a robot or a human or like some sort of like homunculus or something. And they had a very sort of undefined voice. It was a sort of voice I couldn't gender, because it was like very, like, they'd put static over it. So it was really interesting. And they always had their face and body covered. And they're a great character to play just for their, like, skill set and stuff. So I played them a lot, and I always kind of went, well, we don't really know anything about this character, but I just really enjoy them. And I kind of identify somewhat in that idea of not having to express yourself fully. You can just sort of, not necessarily hide, but you can just be whatever you are and do your job, and that's all that matters. And then it came out that character was non-binary canonically. So the team Respawn said that the character of Bloodhound is non-binary.
Yeah.
And that the voice actor is playing them fully non-binary. And that was our intention from the start. And it is kind of that thing where we're like, do they have to be the only non-binary character? Because, again, it's debatable whether or not they're part robot.
Yeah. So it's like an othering thing. It's like a removal thing as well.
There's always that othering thing. Well, not always now, thankfully. But
yeah. But
for the majority,
you know where I'm coming from with that, though. It's not a negative. It's just like, oh, well, you can be non-binary because we can put you... It's a box again. We can put you in this box.
Yeah.
I'm so fond of boxes.
But that is exactly what it is. It's this character doesn't need to have a gender because they are a robot or an alien and they don't have genders. But it's like, why can't this character be a human who chooses to acknowledge that they don't have that gender and that they don't fit within the binary? And again... maybe at this point we do know that Bloodhound isn't all robot. They've definitely got robot elements. So maybe we can ignore that and say, like, well, actually, there is a lot of human elements. So it's that human representation.
Yeah.
But I think the most area that I see it in is when you are a player. So at previous games that have came out, Starfield's one of them. Starfield actually got so much kickback for having pronouns as an option at the start.
Really?
Yeah, so there was, when the game released, obviously, it was the next big Bethesda game following Skyrim and Fallout, but the space version.
Yeah.
So everyone was so excited for Starfield. And then a few sort of large streamers one of them in particular is quite well known for their toxic masculinity sort of presentation.
Yeah.
They played the game, and at the very end of the character creator, you can put your name in, and it'll say pronouns he/him if you've picked a male sort of body type, or she/her.
Mm.
But then you can also press Y on your Xbox controller and pick change pronouns.
Okay.
And so you could have the male character with female pronouns, and vice versa, and you can pick they, them as well.
I was going to ask if you could do the sort of third option. Yeah. Okay.
So you can be non-binary sort of in the game, and people will refer to you as they and them, which I think is amazing. But then it's so bizarre to me that this one little thing where you don't even have to pick it, like no one's made you pick it, made so many people upset to have it included.
Because I don't know the game, so you like correct me. Yeah. But it's a small thing.
Yeah.
You can still look presumably very, very masculine if you want to. Presumably you can look very, very feminine if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And pronoun however you wish.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I was like, it's not...
Yeah, you're not locked into anything.
That was my like, oh, yeah.
So if you identify as a woman and you want to play as a female character, you can pick a female character and it'll automatically assume that's what you want.
Yeah.
But it'll give you the option to change.
Yeah.
So you don't even need to manually pick. It'll assume. And if you're happy, you can press X and continue.
Yeah.
But if you're not happy, you can go, actually, I'm going to just change that.
Yeah.
But that upset so many people because they were like...
Oh, really?
What is with all this pronoun stuff? And we have to start telling people how we identify. And it's just, it's always a little confusing to me that such a tiny thing like a drop bar will make such a
big deal. That's why I wanted to ask, like, whether it was this massive effect on, like, and it changed everything. It's interesting when you say also that actually it's an active choice to have the drop down.
Yeah.
Not to just go, oh, they've made me a boy. They've decided I'm a boy because I've picked this character. Yeah, that's me. That there's that you actually still have to choose the option to change.
Yeah, so like it's just not like it says, we don't know what you are, pick one.
Yeah,
it was like,
it's not even at that level.
Here's an assumption.
Yeah.
Tell us what you are.
Are you happy with that or not?
It's not even like, you don't pick a gender identity, so you don't pick non-binary or male or female or agender or intersex.
Yeah.
You don't pick anything like that. You just pick pronouns.
Yes.
How do you want to be referred? They, he, or she.
Yeah.
And immediately some people are up in arms and like, no, I don't want this.
That's so interesting because no one's forcing them to be.
Yeah.
Anything other than they want to be. It's so interesting.
I think it must come from a sort of element where people just, again, don't really like that otherness. And we're so used to not having that in games that it's this new thing where we're getting to pick and it's like, oh, well, all the previous games I played didn't have that option. So why is it here now? For example, before Starfield came out, Fallout 4 came out as the previous big game from Bethesda. And I would say it was definitely less than 10 years. It was definitely less than 10 years. And in that space of 10 years, you're now picking your pronouns at the start of a game, which was something you couldn't do prior. And it's the same with Baldur's Gate 3. So Baldur's Gate 3 has got the most open character creator I think I've ever seen. So you get to pick your body type, top and bottom, and they don't have to match. So you can have any genitals and any sort of upper torso area. And then you can be any race of any kind. And then it'll just ask you male, female, or I think it says non-binary / other.
Okay.
So it's not even just like for non-binary people, it's for anyone who just doesn't want to identify as male or female. And then you can just set off. And I thought that everyone would just call you, like for the sake of voice and recorded lines.
Mm.
They would say, oh, them over there, because that happens a lot in video games.
Because also it's efficient, isn't it, in terms of if you're thinking as a producer, it's an efficiency, isn't it? Yeah, but they don't.
Yeah, they don't. So it was really interesting. There's definitely games where you play where when you've been able to start choosing between a male or a female main character, a lot of the voice lines will say, refer to you as they, because they don't want to re-record everything for male and female.
Yeah.
So they'll just kind of leave it open and it'll apply to any. Whereas with Baldur's Gate, I was being called they and I just thought, okay, yeah, that's just them saving voice lines.
Yeah.
But then I watched someone else play it and they started getting called he.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God,
they've made that effort.
They recorded everything just for like people who picked they, which I thought was just amazing. It didn't feel like last minute representation, because it means that they'd considered it all the way from the start to the end of voice acting to include it in there, or even if they didn't, they went back and recorded it. And I think any sort of narrative game now is going to follow that, because I think it's fair to say for so many reasons Baldur's Gate has set the industry standard for inclusivity, and I think any game following that is going to be hard felt to sort of get the same appreciation if they don't,
or to even kind of almost step backwards that they're not doing, because it's obviously possible because Baldur's Gate's done it, so there's no excuses.
That's exactly what it is, because even if people don't like, because sometimes your character gets a surname or a fictional name like Shepard in Mass Effect, even if they just refer to you by name, and so they never really use any pronouns, he, she, or otherwise, it kind of makes you think, okay, but why can't we at least get a drop-down menu then? So if it's not going to be used in-game and you're not going to have all this voice acting, can we at least get a little drop-down just for our sake? So The Sims 4, when that first came out, that had male and female, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then I remember the update they did where they let you change your pronouns, and they obviously, The Sims 4 doesn't have nudity, so it doesn't show you genitals or anything, but it has options like, can your character give birth? Can this character stand whilst peeing, or does he need to sit down whilst peeing?
I feel we all need to sit down.
Yeah.
It's so much more comfortable.
But it's interesting that you can tick certain boxes for like what you're going to see.
Very much
screen.
So, yeah.
But just even the idea that they thought about that sort of inclusivity, like, okay, if they want this character to give birth, but they can still change their pronouns, can they also pee standing up in those scenes? And I just remember when that came out, I was like, oh, wow, like that feels like The Sims, a game that's supposed to be a simulation that you can customise, can now be customised. And they don't ever refer to you by your pronouns in-game, but you can still select them, which is just really nice, I think. It's just, even just for yourself, when you're clicking on different characters, and then you can see it, because it comes up, like, their name, so, like, I don't know, like, George Clooney, and then in brackets, he/him.
Yeah.
Close brackets. And it's just a nice little thing of, like, oh, that's what that is. And for a game like The Sims to have that as an update, like, just as a patch, tells me that so many other games are capable of it. And I think around the time we saw that patch games releasing after started to have the little drop bar.
Even just for your own benefit as a player. Yeah. So it's not even an in-game thing particularly. It's just, it's there for you. Mm-hmm. So whatever you want to be, mm-hmm. Or represent or are or whatever, you're there. That's really interesting. So I'm just like, so what do you think, as obviously the representative of all non-binary people in the world. So how do you feel about the way that non-binary characters are represented when they are human? So I'm taking it out of the othering thing a little bit, because obviously an alien is an alien is an alien, and, you know, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the is there a stereotype for a non-binary? That's probably a better, if I backtrack my question a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is there a stereotype? Because I know there is in film and TV for a non-binary character, which is always strangely male gendered presenting. It's very odd to me, but okay.
I would say that the stereotype that I've seen over all media is that other thing of you are a robot or you're an alien, and you always appear fully androgynous.
Okay.
So I often get asked, I say often, I've been asked at least twice in queer spaces, am I sure I identify as non-binary? And I'm pretty sure.
Let me have a think. Yeah.
I wear dresses a lot, and as someone who was born female and presents feminine, people will automatically assume that I'm a woman, and they'll use she, her. And it doesn't bother me. It's assumptions happen. But then I'll correct people, and I'll be like, oh, it's them, actually. And sometimes people will go, are you sure? Because you don't look non-binary. And it's like, what do you mean look like a lack of gender? Like, how can you look like a lack of gender? Or, not falling within that sort of binary spectrum? And I think we often get caught up, especially someone who's, a visual artist, we get caught up in how we perceive the way people look and what that makes us think about them. And so I think for me, seeing non-binary people represented, I don't often see them with long hair. I think I've only really seen non-binary people have short hair. They always look sort of semi-masculine. They're always flat-chested. Again, I don't know how appropriate this is to mention, but I'm someone that has naturally just large breasts. And as someone who identifies as non-binary, it almost feels like I have to wear a binder in order to be considered seriously sort of quote-unquote non-binary. Okay. It's almost like you're not allowed to have large breasts unless you are a woman. That is a woman thing, which kind of feels bizarre that we're taking those concepts of the human body and saying, right, that affects how you feel as a person because of the way you look. And I think the only real representation I've seen of very feminine non-binary people, and I would even say not Liara from Mass Effect, because she was potentially, again, she uses she, her pronouns, and it's quite a loose sort of basis, is it's from TV, and it's from a show called The Good Place, and it's a character called Janet.
Okay.
And again, with a very feminine name, looks very feminine, but they are they're like a product. Again, they're not human.
See, it's interesting. It's another thing again. Yeah, but
They're kind of like an angel sort of, or for lack of a better word, something like that.
Yeah.
And they have a phrase which is not a woman that they say all the time. But they go by the name Janet. They wear a sort of the iconic secretary outfit of a blouse and dress and heels. They look very hyper-feminine. Mm. And then consistently we'll go, yep, not a woman. Because they're a love interest of one of the main characters, who is a human male who's gone to heaven. And he is considered a little bit naive and doesn't necessarily know lots of terms about anything, really. He's quite naive to the world. And he'll say to Janet, I want you to be my girlfriend. And Janet appreciates him and sort of loves him back. And we get to see this sort of sentence fall in love.
Yeah.
And it'll be I would love to, not a woman, not a girl, but I'll be your partner.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, and he's just happy that, like, Janet's gone, yeah, I'll be your partner.
He missed the other bit, but yeah.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah. And I think, like, potentially in the very last season, he says something like, I think Janet says that she is a she at one point or something. Like, it's like a line where it goes, I think Janet says that they're a girl briefly.
Right.
Like, I'm so glad I'm your girlfriend.
Oh, something. Okay. Yeah.
And then he, like, playfully reminds Janet, but you're not a girl. And it's like he's accepted that and he acknowledges it. And Janet is over the moon with this. They're just, like, so happy with, like, yeah. And they have a little moment. And it kind of just shows that even if you're not fully able to comprehend or unsure of these terms, eventually over time, if you care enough, you'll learn. And I think Janet is probably the only character I've ever seen. There may be more that exist, and if anybody does know, I would love to know. But Janet's the only character from media that I've seen that represents quite feminine and is non-binary.
Yeah.
And presents as human, so even though they are that sort of other being, like an astral plane, they look like a human woman, which is what I think feminine non-binary people can still sort of relate to, because we look like human women as well.
Yes, of course. It's just, I find it really, that's the reason I ask. So I'm watching a TV series, there's a non-binary character in it, Taylor, kind of nice non-binary name. They are born female, as in gendered, but they're ticking all the boxes that you were talking about in terms of masculine attire. Very, you do see their breasts at one point in it, very, very small, like, you know, not binding, but very, like, very small. So again, physical presentation.
Yeah, I think we really need to try. I say we as if I can shift the world.
I know. I'm just really interested because it's the idea of non-binary, and if it's a female gendered, like, sex, I don't know to use it, like, originally would have been gendered female at birth, let's use that term, that when they're presented in whatever media, that person has had to transform towards a more masculine presentation, seemingly.
So that is a term within the community, and it is called quite literally trans mask.
Okay.
So some people will identify as non-binary, and then they'll specify trans femme if maybe they were assigned male at birth and then they want to be non-binary, but they've sort of done things to enhance their sort of femininity.
Right.
And it's the same with people who assign female at birth who want to sort of be more androgynous, they'll be trans mask, so tend to cut their hair, bind themselves, stuff like that. There's definitely an area of identifying outside the binary that I explored. It's like a route I went down. Like, anyone who knows me will know that I've shaved my head, like, fully, like, zero all over at least twice.
Okay.
And now I have, like, shoulder length, really, really long hair. And there was definitely a time where I was like, I can't have long hair and be non-binary. But the whole point of being non-binary is to not fit within binary and stereotypes. So to follow them is kind of, you're missing the point. And that's not to say that people aren't trans mask or trans femme. A lot of these people exist. They do identify this way and they do change their appearance, and that's how they want to be. I know personally people who are non-binary who have had double mastectomies, so that they are fully flat-chested, but they don't identify as male. They still identify as non-binary. I think we need to start embracing the sort of more open sides of you don't have to look a certain way to be a certain gender. And that doesn't just go for, like, non-binary people. That goes for sort of agender, intersex, cisgender, or biological, depending on what terms people prefer. Just any gender, really. Like, you can look however you want to look. But there is definitely visual stereotypes. And as a concept artist, I don't see those changing in games.
That was kind of where that was where I was sort of, again, because it's, as with many things, if it's not within your immediate experience, where are you getting your touchstones from? Well, it's the media. It's yeah. That's where you're, and if you're probably a younger person, you're getting your touchstones from probably video game and watching people play video game. And I'm just interested in that representational aspect, especially as a concept artist, as someone who is part of the designing of what the characters actually look like.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I don't think we've had enough stereotypical non-binary representation yet to be able to break away from it.
Okay.
So, as horrible as it sounds, I could probably count on hands and toes how many non-binary characters exist canonically within games.
Yeah.
And there's stereotypes within those, the robots, the aliens.
Mm.
But I expect that we'll need a lot more of that just to explore being non-binary before we can break away from it.
Yeah.
Like, I think we need that bad well, we don't need it, but I think we're going to receive that bad representation before we get the good representation.
Yeah. I think it's just super, because some of the characters that have come up in different discussions and just the way characters are presented, and there's just so many stereotypes, and I completely understand stereotypes. It's a shortcut, and you have to kind of talk to a wide audience, and if this shortcut is understandable, kind of great. Yeah. But I completely get where you're coming from. So essentially, are we at a point where we just need more non-binary characters, or just the optionality of identifying as non-binary, regardless of the art?
I think regardless, the identifying as non-binary is happening no matter what. So there's a game that's coming out that is highly anticipated, which is Dragon Age 4. Mm-hmm. They just changed it from Dreadwolf to Veilguard.
Okay.
So Dragon Age Veilguard's coming out. And in Inquisition, which was 9.5 years ago,
okay,
it was considered sort of groundbreaking because you could pick between a bunch of races, a bunch of genders, well, I say a bunch, male and female.
Yeah, but
you could also be, because every character was voice acted, if you picked like a female character, you could be American or English with a British voice actor.
Yep.
And it's the same for the male. So they had four main character voice actors, which is pretty cool for a fully voice acted game. And so that was like way ahead of the time. But you couldn't pick how people referred to you. You couldn't pick gender, stuff like that. Like, very specific. You couldn't change the way you looked.
Yeah.
And I would be absolutely shocked if when this game comes out, you don't get to pick they or non-binary or other or something like that. And I would also be shocked if a character didn't show up who was non-binary.
Okay.
I think being able to pick that drop bar is going to be industry standard going forward. But I think seeing non-player characters who are non-binary, that's the real thing that we need.
Yeah.
We need those companions. We need those love interests. Even in games where you're not playing, like you're playing an existing character, like Tomb Raider, for instance, having like a companion or someone you meet in that's non-binary, that's the type of representation that would be great to see.
That there's a person there who can be seen.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's seeing that person. I think, just for me again, personally, I would prefer that we stopped focusing on the player being allowed to be non-binary and start focusing on seeing characters who are, seeing other people fully fleshed out. Because I don't want to just be the only non-binary person in a fictional world. Yeah. I want to meet the non-binary people.
Yes, because those characters have experiences, in inverted commas, have experiences that are shared.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what people are looking for, especially in narrative games, are this sort of shared experiences and travelling through a narrative with characters and being in that world and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's exactly, I think, what I'm definitely looking for, and I think a lot of people within the non-binary community are, that idea that you have your own real world experience of being not within a binary, but then meeting characters who have that experience already written in, and potentially in the future meeting characters who don't look a certain way. So Liara Tassoni from Mass Effect, she may look hyper feminine and like a blue beautiful woman, but she is still that non-binary character, and so even though probably unintentionally, is a great example of being non-binary, but not a stereotypical non-binary person.
Yeah.
And I think if we get more like that done intentionally, that would be perfect.
Amazing. So you're going to leave us on that like really high, like high hopeful note.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kirsty. It's been really interesting. This was your choice of kind of topic. And it's super interesting because the idea that sort of characters kind of existed, but that othering is still present. It's just so interesting. And I really get, when that game comes out and when you've played it, can you come back?
Yeah.
Tell me if your predictions are true.
I certainly hope so. I hope I get to come back after the summer and say the game came out, it was just what we needed.
That'd be amazing.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Kirsty. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's it. That's Game Changers. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next time. Bye.